plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And greetings, friends, around the world. Everywhere around the world, we have to face this sobering fact. We are nearer right now to World War III than we have ever been before. Now, is hydrogen bomb war going to break out? Well, if you want to know the answer before it happens, you'll find it on highest authority in one of the world's vast news magazines, The Plain Truth. You can't understand today's momentous world news unless you understand that there is a purpose being worked out here below, and what that purpose is, and how it is being worked out. And newspaper editors, radio and television news analysts or commentators do not know. They can't tell you. They don't know. Scientists don't know. Businessmen don't know. Statesmen don't know. Now, in this magazine, The Plain Truth, you will find not only today's news analyzed with its true meaning and where it is leading, but you will also find tomorrow's news before it happens. It is the only magazine on the face of this earth that gives you these things. There is no magazine like The Plain Truth, and it is utterly unique in another way. It not only has a worldwide circulation, but there is no subscription price. There is no charge to you. Now, of course, every subscription has been paid for. In the larger sense, it isn't free, because in one sense, nothing is free. It is free to you, that's all. But it has cost somebody something. And let me just say right here that this magazine goes out as a ministry of love from thousands and thousands of people who want to have the other people to know the real truth and who have made a sacrifice and gone without things that perhaps they have wanted or needed in order that you out there listening may have this precious, most valuable knowledge. And so, in order that it may go around the world, it is free to you. And there is no charge, and there never will be. We want to know that you really want it. You must order it for yourself. That's all there is to it. No subscription price, no cost to you whatsoever. Someone else has paid for your subscription. And it's waiting for you. It's already paid for, so you might as well write in and get it. Now, the mailing address, I'll give it at the close of the broadcast. And so, let me suggest that you get paper and pen or an envelope or something to jot this down on before the program is over. While I'm speaking, about 25 minutes from now, it'll come again. The mailing address is Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. That's it. That'll be announced again at the close of the broadcast. My friends, I wonder if you realize, no longer do news commentators, top military men and scientists say, if there is a World War III, now they speak only of when and how it shall come. Leading world scientists are frightened. And they have said so for publication. No one thinks now that men swayed by passions, partisanship, and greed, with competitive aspirations and interests to work for and to protect in different parts of the world, that they will be able to prevent the world cataclysm which experts tell us may blast all human life from off the face of this earth. Now, is that a gloomy picture? Yes, but it's a real picture, my friends. It's the picture that we face. It's the world that we live in. Now, I have quoted so often recently on this program from what the world's greatest newscaster said, and this, the greatest newscaster that ever came into the world, actually lived 1,900 years ago, and he was forecasting then the news that you and I see taking place on this earth today. He forecast the news of our time and our lifetime and what's going to happen in the next few years from now. The immediate present and the immediate future and the time that you're going to live into and to live through. And he foretold a time when things would happen that we see occurring right now, more earthquakes than ever before happening all around the world, and when we're beginning to get a taste of crazy weather and famines on the face of the earth, and it's going to get a lot worse according to what he said 1,900 years ago. And there's going to come a time of world trouble such as never had existed before in world war, and he said this, that there would be such great tribulation or world trouble, such as had never happened since the beginning of the world to the same time, nor ever shall be, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. And he was speaking about being saved alive. Human life would be wiped out from off the face of this earth. But he said, and listen, prick up your ears and listen, because here is good news. He said, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Let me tell you, my friends, among the elect is a group that are seeing to it that this message, this gospel of the very government of God and of the kingdom of God that he was proclaiming when he made this very prophecy, when he forecast this news long before it was to happen, that are getting this out to the world is a ministry of love. They are God's elect. And because they are here and for their sakes, those days are going to be shortened for the protection of all of you. And I want to tell you that it is good news. And I hope you realize how good it is, because otherwise your life would be wiped out. My life and the life of everybody. Now, we've explained a lot of that before. Yes, there's going to be supernatural intervention. There is to be, in due time. Not until man has come to the very end of his rope, however, not until things come to the place where man would commit suicide of the human race, and there would be no one left. And finally, let me tell you, my friends, a lot of you have never been quite sure whether there is a God. And some of you people around the world have worshipped other gods. Some of you have worshipped gods that the real and only true God made, or the material that he made and brought into existence, such as the sun, or various things carved out of marble or wood or things of that sort. Let me tell you that behind all of those things is the true creator God, who created all that is, and who gives you the breath you breathe, and who sits at the controls, because he created every force, every energy, and every power that there is, every law of physics, of chemistry, and he operates those controls. And he rules the entire universe. And he is merely keeping hands off on this earth for a purpose and letting man run his course a certain way. He is not interfering. He has given you free moral agency. He has given you the kind of mind that he has, which no other being has. No animal has such a mind. Only God Almighty. And he's given the human race such a mind so that we can think, we can plan, we can have ideas. And we can and must make decisions. And all mankind has made the decision to reject the laws that this God set in motion, and to go contrary to them, and to reject his commandments, and to disobey the laws that he set in motion to bring us peace, to bring us joy, to bring us happiness. That's why you're finding troubles on the earth today. That's why we're having the miseries, the squalor, the starvation, the famine, the unhappiness, the heartache, and the headache that we're having in all parts of this world now. Well, I tell you, man is going to bring this thing to a place where it's going to come to be worse and worse. And you'd better listen, because you're living in this world and it's happening and it's coming. Well, is it any wonder that so many people, if and when they do begin to think of the Almighty or wonder if there is a God, that they ask, well, why then, if there is a God, does he permit wars? Why would he permit such world war that it could snuff out human life? Why does God allow such unadulterated hell on earth among men? Why, surely people reason, if God exists, and if God is good, if he is a God of love, he would not wish people to suffer as they do. He would not want, if he is a compassionate and a merciful God, he wouldn't want innocent victims to endure this indescribable anguish. And then again, if he is almighty and has all power, as he is described as having, he certainly could prevent all of it. And then people ask, well, now, why doesn't he? Well, of course, that's a little bit of an unbalanced conception of God. It emphasizes his love, his tender mercy and compassion, his power, but it overlooks God's righteousness and his wisdom, and it fails utterly to understand God's great purpose in putting human beings on this earth, the purpose he's working out in our lives. You were put here on this earth for a purpose, and most of you never thought of it. Most of you know nothing about what that purpose is, and why you're alive, and why you're living. But people do have a right to the answer. Now, war, of course, is not caused by the Almighty Creator. He set in motion laws that would bring us peace, but we're violating those laws. And so war is caused by ambition and greed, by the wrong thinking and the wrong kind of acting of men and of leaders of men, swayed by human passions, and the result is evil. The result is the result of sin. Still, God permits it, doesn't he? Yes, he does. Now, there is a purpose being worked out here below. God put humanity on this earth for a purpose. Of course, that implies that there is a higher power above doing the working out, and that is God Almighty. But man, it seems, fails to understand completely what that purpose is. Now, naturally, it has to do with the plan of redemption, as people speak of it in the Western or the Christian part of the world. Now, let us just ask, why is it that man should need any redemption anyhow? I think to some of you people over in India and over in China and other parts of the world like that, perhaps you don't think about these things. Maybe it never occurred to you that man would need any redemption. But people in the Western world, in the so-called Christian world, they preach redemption. Well, now, why should anyone need redemption? Well, the popular teaching by a lot of these people who do not understand is this, that a person becomes saved, as they call it, at the time that he accepts Jesus Christ as personal Savior. All right, now let me ask you something, then. If that's true, why is it then that God Almighty does not right then and there when they accept Christ, when they are saved, as people are teaching from the Western world, and the missionaries are teaching in China and in India and in Africa and in other parts of the world where you are now hearing my voice, why is it then that God doesn't remove the person who is automatically saved by accepting Christ? Why doesn't he remove such people immediately from this unhappy world of suffering? Why doesn't he take him immediately to heaven, if that's where you're to go? If you're to have the happy reward of lying around in idleness and laziness and ease, playing on a harp forever, and if that's heaven, and people are already saved, why does God make them stay down here and suffer? Why have to live this kind of a suffering life of torture before they get to go there? Why can't they go the minute they say, all right, I accept Christ?
Herbert W. Armstrong will return right after this message. In life, we experience a full gamut of emotions, from total happiness to excruciating pain, from the joy of family life to the sadness of losing a loved one in death. But if there is a God who loves us, as the Bible says, then why does he allow mankind to experience such sorrows? More so, why does God permit Christians to suffer? Even after conversion, Christians still suffer severe trials and tests, long illnesses, crippling accidents. Do these events have a purpose? Are there lessons Christians must learn through problems and difficulties? For a clear explanation of these important questions, send for this free article, Why Does God Permit Christians to Suffer? Learn how the trials of today bring the rewards of tomorrow. Send your request to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123.
Why is it that once a man is converted, or saved, as they call it, that you read in the Bible that from that time on, many are the afflictions of the righteous? Now, here's a man that's become righteous, and the Bible says that he will have many afflictions. And all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And then again, the Bible says it is through much tribulation that we must enter the kingdom of God. Well, a lot of people think kingdom of God means heaven, which it doesn't. But why, my friends? Why should we have to stay here and suffer? Why does God allow it? And if a person is saved, the minute they say, I accept Christ, why is it that that doesn't relieve you from all the misery of living any longer? Now, my friends, perk up your ears and listen, because you are now getting the message of Christ. You are now getting the message of God. You are now getting the message of the Holy Bible that God inspired, and the Holy Bible is the inspired writing and the message to man from the Creator who created all that is in all this world. All right, now then, I want to ask some more questions, and then we're going to start to answer. Why is it now, first, that God does permit the world to suffer so much, and second, why must even converted Christians, after they're converted, or after they say they have accepted Christ, or after they are saved, as so many put it, why must they go on living in suffering? Now, you hear a lot about something that is called sin, S-I-N, sin. I'm speaking in the English language. Well, we hear that it came from the original fall of man. My friend, that just is not true. Well, why the fall, and why didn't God prevent that? Why did God create human beings? Why did he create the human family? Why are you here? God is a supreme creator. He's not a destroyer, he's a creator. Now, the Bible says there is an invisible destroyer, an invisible personality, a being called Satan, and that he has many, many demons, who are former angels that have just gone sour. They have turned against the laws and the government of God and rebelled, and they are now demons. They are destroyers. But you know that God Almighty works. You know that He's busy. Now, human beings work, and human beings become very busy. Well, I doubt if there is a human being on earth that is even infinitesimally as busy as God Almighty. Yes, God is busy. He has a lot of work to do. But what is His work? Because He does work. Well, now, Jesus Christ, who is a messenger sent from God to bring a message to mankind that you have probably never heard before, but you're hearing it now on this program. Jesus said, "My Father works and I work." God's work is that of creator, and creating is building. It's making, not destroying. God, then, is a creator. Now I want you to look about you. I want you to look at all the species and the forms of living creatures. Imagination, and out of knowledge, and out of thinking, and out of reason. Well, of course, none but God Himself can actually create in the strictest sense of bringing into existence something that even matter that never existed before, but changing existing materials and putting them together in a new and a different way. In other words, the making of things, manufacturing of things by original design, well, that's very close to actually creating, and it's often even called that. Now, how many creatures can think and plan and design and use imagination and come to making decisions and then execute the idea that they have thought out by actually making something that they have reasoned out and thought out? Now, by instinct, the beavers build dams, but all these dams follow the same pattern. One beaver does it just like beavers were doing 100 years ago, or 1,000, or 6,000 years ago. It makes no difference. The beaver can't think out some new different pattern and some new and different thing. It's always the same. He doesn't think. Now, look at the ants. Ants may form anthills, and gophers, snakes, and rodents dig holes, and birds build nests, but they always follow the same pattern. The bird builds a nest just exactly like that kind of bird has always built for the last 6,000 years. And you know that a test was made by scientists some little time ago? They took a certain kind of bird. They isolated that bird. Where it could see no other birds. It could not see birds' nests. There were a number of the birds that they took and isolated. And they were isolated where they could have food, but there was no material with which to build nests. Well, they waited until those birds had hatched out another generation. And those birds grew up. And they hatched out another generation, and then another generation. And not any of those birds for three or four generations had ever seen a bird's nest of the kind that that species of bird had been accustomed to building. And then what do you think they did? Well, then they made the type of material that birds build nests out of accessible. And immediately, those birds, three or four generations later, they had never seen a bird nest. Nor their parents hadn't, or their grandparents had never seen a bird's nest. Immediately, they took that material and they began to make a nest, and it was the same kind of nest that kind of bird had always built. It wasn't a different kind of a nest. My friends, animals, birds, fishes have instinct. It's something put right within their brain that causes them to do the same thing. They don't think, they don't plan, they don't have imagination, they don't have reason, they don't make decisions. They can't sin because they don't know enough. Now, man, and man only, can design and build dams, such as the Grand Coulee Dam here in the North American continent. Man can build great tunnels under mountains or under rivers. Man, I've gone through great tunnels over in Switzerland. I've gone under the tunnel in the Hudson River between New Jersey and the city of New York. Think of the things that man can build. Man can invent and build automobiles, airplanes, battleships. Man can build something. He can fly faster and farther than the swiftest bird. Why, he can go underwater in submarines faster and farther than any fish. Man alone, of all the things that God ever created, is capable of approaching real creative powers. But God has limited man's powers. It is only now, after the middle of the 20th century A.D., that man at last has learned a little about the use of atomic energy. Now, man is experimenting, striving desperately to develop jets and rockets, means of flight and transportation which might take him to other planets. Oh, we're getting into an age of speed. Yes, we're experimenting. Pretty soon we'll be traveling in rockets all around this world. 2.5 hours from the city of London, clear out here to Los Angeles, California. In 2.5 hours. Why, you can start at 5 a.m. when this happens. 5 o'clock in the morning, New Year's Day. And you know what? You can arrive out here in Los Angeles at 11:30 before midnight, the year before you started, on the night of New Year's Eve, and see New Year's all over again. I tell you, when you arrive a month before you start, a day before you start, and even the year before you start, of course, there's a difference in time. In other words, you're just going faster than the Earth turns on its axis, and it appears that the sun is moving. But that is a terrific rate of speed, the things that man is now developing, and the place that he is bringing himself to. Now, why has God restrained man? There is a limit to what God will allow man to do or accomplish. I want you to look at what man has actually done with the things that God has allowed him to devise and to make. Thousands of years ago, man learned to deal with iron, with steel, and with other metals. And he made implements, he constructed buildings. But he also made swords and spears, and he went out to destroy. Now, man learned to organize other men into cities and into groups and into nations. But what use did he make of these organizations that he controlled? Well, he organized the able-bodied of his men into armies. And then he set out with the instruments and the tools that he had made of destruction to destroy and to acquire by taking, not by producing and creating, but to take away from other people that had produced things. And even in those peaceful cities, states and nations way back there in the ancient time that were not at war, those men who ran the government sought greedily to fatten their own pockets at the expense of their fellow men, and the smell of graft and illegal influence, as even to this day most around the world, ascended into high heaven. And so man has at last developed to the place where he's able to destroy not only his enemies, the people he thinks are his enemies, but himself as well. You live in the most tremendous times of all Earth's history. You are destined to live on into and through the supernatural world catastrophes that are bringing us now to the end of the world, the end of this age, ushering in the kingdom of God and the happy world tomorrow, a world lying at peace at last. Now, this government will be God's government, not man's. This super kingdom over all of the present kingdoms of the Earth is to be established not by mankind, but for mankind. It is to be set up to put an end to starvation, to famine, sickness, and disease, to put an end to poverty and ignorance. It is coming to restore the right ways and the laws and the statutes and the judgments of the all-wise, all-living, all-powerful, supreme, living God. There is a cause for all of this world's unhappiness, its wretchedness, its poverty, its ignorance, its crime, and its disease. And every one of these curses has come on mankind as a result of transgressing those righteous laws of the Almighty God. And I want to tell you that the law of God is going to go out from Jerusalem. The Almighty God is going to deliver this sick world from all of its curses, is going to solve its problems, is going to lead mankind in the way that will bring us all the good things that everyone longs for and wants so desperately. There is a cause for everything. There's a reason for all of the troubles in the world today. And there is a cause and a reason that is going to change everything and bring us a utopia. You know, it seems that utopia is so impossible. My friends, why should it be? Why shouldn't we have peace? Why do we have to have strife and troubles and wars and sickness and disease? It's all a matter of law. There are certain laws that would lead us to everything we want. Everyone wants peace. Everyone wants to be happy. Everyone wants to feel good, to have good health, to have the comforts of life, to have security, to have plenty of the material goods of this world, and to find life interesting and happy, and it should be that way for everyone. You know that the eternal God has given to mankind the laws that will produce every one of those things. But for 6,000 years, all races, all peoples of mankind on this earth have been rejecting that way. And they've been going the diametrically opposite way. And they have brought on themselves these curses and these troubles that afflict us and make this world so sick today. And I want to tell you that the time is coming
when we're going to have to turn around and start going the other way. And the eternal God is going to bring that about with the super government of the eternal creator God, who is going to rule mankind, because we have proved that we're not competent to govern and to rule ourselves, even in our own homes, in our businesses, in our factories, in any sphere, in our colleges and universities. Mankind has failed, and God is going to take it away from mankind and is going to, in spite of man, lead us into the ways that will bring us peace. Now, I've spoken in the name and by the authority of the living God, the creator of all peoples, races, and nations of the earth. This world has forgotten its maker.
Because of the importance of this subject and other related topics, we are pleased to offer the following free literature. Why were you born? To become a farmer trying to feed the population bomb? To become an entertainer to give people a fleeting moment of laughter? To be a millionaire with big houses and fancy cars and ulcers? To live out your last days on the end of a plastic tube in a hospital? To be the last to die in a war you don't understand? Is that all there is to human existence? Just putting in your time on a troubled planet? No. There is a great purpose for your life, a reason you draw breath. And you need to know what it is. Read the free booklet, Why Were You Born? This knowledge gives reason to life, adds meaning to all you do. For a true added dimension to your life, be sure to read, Why Were You Born?